Welcome to Oak City Church, a family of learners, lovers, and givers sent. For more information, visit us online at oakcitychurch.com. Let us know if we can help you in any way. Thank you for listening.
Would you all stand, please? I'm going to read Psalm 23, "The Lord is My Shepherd," a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thanks be to... Oh, this is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, Oak City. If you are online or here the first time, welcome. Normally you see Jeff. He gets the Sunday off because Bobby Joe, if you don't know, is getting inducted to the Pennsylvania High School Hall of Fame. So I told Bobby Joe next week, so he's back, she can hand out autographs. So if you're fortunate, see Bobby Joe. But congratulations, Bobby Joe, on that. We're in our week five of our sermon series, Psalms, right? This is called The Heart of the Gospel. So I want to give a quick recap, right? So week one and two, Jeff talked through Psalms 1 and 2, and he gave an overview of Psalms and talked about really the treasure that is found in Psalms. Then he went to Psalms 8, and where he spent time talking about the wonder that we have in Christ, the wonder that's in creation, and just the beauty of what Jesus has done for us. And then last week, Jeff taught out of Psalm 22. And if I gave a quick summary, it would be this. Two main things, that God wants us to be brutally honest with him, and David was, right? And then I walked away last week with the reminder that we are not alone in our distress. We are not alone. So that was Psalms 22. So I was excited because Jeff's like, hey, if you have time, can you help and can you preach on Psalms? And at first he said, you should do Psalm 23. And I said, yeah, no, not Psalm 23. I wanted to do another one, maybe one that had a bit of a story, some background of David, maybe when he was fleeing, and yet I kept being drawn back to Psalm 23. So here we are this morning, and I'll be honest, part of why I really didn't want to do Psalm 23, it's a really known psalm, very popular, used a lot in funerals, used a lot in movies, a lot, we know it, but then I realized that there's some aspects of it that I don't like, because it gets really personal. So I hope as we go through that this morning that we realize the personal aspect of God in it. So I have two main observations, and each one has a bunch of little points in it, but two main observations that I want to go through. Number one is that Psalms, especially Psalm 23, it gives us insight into a personal God. And then the second point is that we are like sheep, and we're in need of a shepherd. So that's what I want to work through with that being the umbrella today. But before I do that, I just want to pray. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this opportunity, and I pray that you would speak this morning, that your word, which is alive, will speak to us, that we will hear from you, and that you will silence me, and God, you'll be glorified in it. Give me the words for your name's sake. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so I said I'm starting off with this. God, Psalms gives us this personal insight into God, right? What I didn't realize is when you read Psalm 23, there is no we, there's no us, there's no they, but there are my, there's me, there's I, he, and you. So right from the beginning, we're going to see this very personal experience of David that he has with God. And so I like a little controversy. So I'm going to give you a quote that I think can be a little controversial. And I'm going to come back to it later, kind of like a comedian that has a callback. I'm going to call back to this later on. This quote is this by A.W. Tozer, and he's a great godly man. He says this, "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us." What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. I'm going to come back to that. But now, the controversy part is, I'm going to ask you, and I'm not going to judge you, but I want to hear from you. When you think about God, what words come to mind? What are the attributes of God that come to mind? If you would go ahead and just call them out for me.
His love.
His love, absolutely. God's love. What else?
Grace.
Grace, yeah. What else? His love, his grace. What else? His power, yeah. One more.
Just.
His just, yeah, he's just. Powerful God, God of love, of grace, and just. God of mercy. All right. So as we think about these attributes of God, I want to kind of shift gear a little bit because I think the attributes are important of how we view God, but also how do we describe and talk about God. The Bible is full of metaphors, especially in Psalms. And I think metaphors are there to help us describe God in a relatable way. The thing about biblical metaphors is that they reveal something true, what God is like, but they can never alone become exclusive, or our understanding of God will be reduced to a small subset of the rich diversity of God. Let me give you an example. So there's a book that I've recommended in the past. It's called The Unbelievable Gospel by Jonathan Dodson. And he gives you a bunch of Bible metaphors that help have conversations with people. And so one of those metaphors, and you found this throughout the Bible as well, is viewing God as a father. God as a father is a bit of a metaphor for us to help people relate. For me, I had a great relationship with my dad. So viewing God as a father is very relatable to me. My wife, on the other hand, she's always struggled with this metaphor. So I mentioned that book because in it, he gives this great quote. He says this, evangelism doesn't have to be mechanical. It can be intuitive and relational. It doesn't have to be pressure-driven and event-oriented. He says, listening to people's stories, we can discern how best to share the gospel with them in a natural, relatable way. So that's why I think Bible metaphors are so important. So as we use metaphors based on God's attributes, that we can help have conversations to share the grace, the power, the mercy, the love of God. So if we go back to our passage in Psalm 23, we see David reaches for the most comprehensive and intimate metaphor that he can think of. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." So far in the book of Psalms, we've seen these metaphors of God that have been a bit more distant. God is the king. God is deliverer. God is my rock and my shield. As Graham read from Psalm 18, he is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, right? Those are all true and they're important, but they're a bit distant. So David himself was a shepherd. So he knows the hours, the hard work that's involved in being a shepherd. He's experienced the kind of bond that's formed between the shepherd and his sheep. So when he calls God as shepherd, it's very personal. It's one that he can relate to. It's one that the people of Israel, they understand and can relate to. I'll be honest, when I looked up shepherd, I went to try to use AI that we have from work, and I was like, what is the equivalent today of a shepherd? Can you give me? And it said a shepherd. It's like a herd. There's nothing that I don't think, when we hear the word shepherd, I don't think it's as relatable to us at times. So I want to draw that out a little bit more. So verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now there are some versions that say, "I lack nothing." I lack nothing. What a profound statement by David. He says, because the Lord is his shepherd, not himself, he's not his own shepherd, not someone else or something. And because the Lord is a shepherd, David lacks nothing. All right, I'm going to be vulnerable here. That's really hard for me to really believe. I mean, if you think about it, every day when I wake up, I don't have it in my pocket because I want to keep it out, we reach for our phones. How often do our phones become our shepherds? How often do our phones offer us something that we think is going to make us better? Becky and I were recently talking about taking a trip next summer, and I kid you not, the next day I was getting ads for places to go and travel. We had one comment, right? Let me give you another example. We're getting close to Christmas. My kids, of course, we got these Target and Amazon like gift, and they've already gone through and circled what they think that they need or want, right? We are constantly have things around us saying, this is what you need, this will make you happy, this will give you peace. If we could just have this. And it's not just my kids, it's me. Like, I am so easily drawn to things that I want. If I could have this, then all will be good. Right? Jeff uses this line where there was they went and surveyed a bunch of millionaires, and they said, hey, how much is enough? And they all said, every single one of them said, well, just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. So it's such a profound statement that David uses this personal metaphor of God being his shepherd and that God provides enough, that he lacks nothing. So I found this picture. I'm going to ask them to pull up. There's a picture of the Judeaning wilderness. This is where David walked as a shepherd, right? Grass comes about for 2 months is what I found. 2 months of the year, they have grass. There's no trees, not a lot of shade, not a lot of water, and there's some steep inclines. So if you're a shepherd, your job is to take care of your sheep and walk them through this to where you need to go for food, for protection, for water. And I want you to keep that picture up as we go and look through the passage a little bit more. Right? And I want us to think about the shepherd. Their job is to ensure the flock's safety. They're the guide, they're the protector, they're the thinker, the organizer, they're even the physician. If your sheep get hurt, you care for them. So when David says, the Lord is my shepherd, he thinks about God as a shepherd. That means he's thinking of himself as a sheep. So we're going to get a sheep eyes view, and I want you to think about that picture as we go through the verses again. In Psalm 1, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. David wants us to have the same perspective that this sheep would have. As you think about that desert, that terrain, we need to think about, what does the shepherd do for the sheep? And what I like about these first three verses, if you notice, David writes this. He writes to God as he, God, he does this. He restores my soul. He makes me lie down. But then if we jump to verses 4 and 5, look at how he switches and makes it even more personal. He says this, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you, God, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. David in the first three is talking about God, he, and now it's you. And what jumped out to me in a way that's never jumped out to me in this passage is that this is really an example, a model of how we can pray. Right? We can talk about God, but we also need to talk to God. For example, our prayer of God, you are, God is great, God is generous, can turn to thank you, God. David gives us this example. It's an opportunity for us to take what we feel in our hearts and describe it with our heads. But the more I study this passage, the more I realize there's even more to it. So in verse 4, David is calling out that while he walks through the valley of the shadow of death, he recognizes that God is personally with him. This is why he says, you, not he is with me, you, God, are with me, your rod and your staff. And I believe that all David has gone through, he recognizes that through these crises that he's experienced, they've drawn him closer to God. And as of last week, I can now say that in my 40 years, I think I've been more prone to talk about God when things are good, when I'm in the green pasture, when life goes well. But when I've been in the wilderness, in the ravine, in those dark places, when I cry out to God, it's, where are you? It's personal. So I think David is, again, showing those emotions. He's showing the personal aspect of God here. When my dad passed away, it wasn't he, God, it was God, why have you allowed this to happen? think we have to think about that when we're in those times of suffering. We have to be reminded to call out to God as a personal God. Where are you? How could you do this? As we reflect on that picture I had earlier of that desert, right? You see a bunch of those steep inclines, those paths. And what I love about this is that David's putting himself as a sheep, trusting God. He says, I will fear no evil, for you, God, you are with me. And here's what struck out to me. God easily could say, hey, you know what? You're a dumb sheep. You've got yourself into a mess. Get out. You walked on the edge of that cliff. That's your fault. Deal with it. But God doesn't do that. David has personally experienced God being present with him. So he writes, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And what jumps out to me in the statement is that this is before Jesus. David knows God, but he hasn't experienced the life, the death, and resurrection of Jesus. Jesus, who came to earth in the form of man, to step out into danger and ultimately into the shadow of death on our behalf. Jesus didn't have to, but he chose to. No other religion has a Savior that comes to our rescue. In every other religion, you have to earn it. You have to try harder to do better. You have to earn that. But in Christianity, Jesus himself, as the Good Shepherd, comes and puts himself in harm's way. And if you think about that terrain some more as we keep that mental picture, think about the challenge to lead sheep through such a dangerous valley. And it says, verse 3, it says, he, the shepherd, leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And here's what jumped out to me on that aspect, right? We have a personal God, the creator of the heavens and earth, who desires to lead us for his name's sake. You know, if you think about a shepherd, if they lose their sheep, they don't have a good reputation. You probably don't want them taking care of your sheep. That would affect the shepherd's livelihood, their name, their source of income. But God's reputation with David through all that he's been through when he writes Psalm 23 is that God has led him well. Even when David has wandered off and done things stupid and got himself into trouble, God was present with him and brings him back. What a personal and present God. And so here's what I found. I was studying some more. So this is not the only time there's mention of a shepherd. So Ezekiel 34. So if you have a Bible, you can turn there. We'll have it up on the screen. So here's what's amazing. Psalm 23 was written around 1000 BC, 1,000 years before Jesus. If you fast forward roughly 400 years later, Ezekiel, a prophet, writes this. Okay? This is what he says. This is what God says to Ezekiel. It says this, for thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep, and I will seek them out. What a personal statement from God, the creator, God the rock, God our salvation, right? He goes on, he says, as a shepherd seeks out his flock when he's among his sheep that have been scattered, so I will seek out my sheep. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from all the countries, and I will bring them to their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the ravines, and all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and rich pasture they shall feed in the mountains of Israel. Again, you hear the Lord saying, they will lack nothing. And verse 15 says this, I myself, this is God speaking to Ezekiel the prophet, saying, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. What hope and promise we have in a personal God that seeks us. A personal God for his own namesake promises to seek out his sheep, to find and rescue them and provide for them. And God states he will provide so that his sheep will lack nothing. I want to make a caveat. That is not saying wealth and prosperity, nice houses, nice things. It's that we'll have what we need. And you may ask, you may say, hey, you know what? Why would the shepherd lead a sheep through such a dangerous road? Why would the shepherd risk any harm to his sheep? And what I found is the answer is to get them to a better place. I can't answer the question of why my dad passed away when he did. I can't hide the pain that I wish he had a chance to meet my daughter. But what I can say is that through that pain and suffering, the Lord led me to a better place, a more personal relationship with him through that time of suffering and questioning. And what I find comfort in the opportunity to be able to cry out to God and ask why. And I find comfort in a God that desires to be personal with us. What I love about Psalms is you've always seen throughout Psalms, you'll see David and even the other authors pour out their emotions, their frustration, their hurt, their pain. They pour out the questions of why God would allow things to happen. Where is God? You know, if we study the life of David, you see a broken man who makes a lot of mistakes but continues to trust in God. Which leads me to my second observation here is that we are like sheep in need of a shepherd. And I'll be honest, this might have been one of the biggest reasons I didn't really want to preach on this. I told Jeff, I said, you know what? I really don't like being compared to a sheep. I had the opportunity to work on multiple farms back in high school, and one was a sheep farm. They smell, and they're pretty dumb. And so the more I studied something, I was like, man, I am like a sheep. I struggle to believe that I lack nothing, and I struggle to recognize my need of a shepherd. I don't want to be a sheep that's helpless, defenseless. David knows this. David knows what he's being honest, that he is helpless, defenseless, that he needs a shepherd. Let me give you little examples on sheep. So I found this, and as I was studying sheep, they say that if a sheep was to get separated from its herd, what a sheep will do is walk around in circles. It won't eat, and eventually it will die if it gets separated. There was an article from a real-life situation in a Turkish newspaper where 1,500 sheep ran off a cliff, around 50 feet, and they said that the first 400 of them ran to their death. The remaining 1,100 fell on top of them, and they were cushioned by the blow of the other sheep. Like, they didn't die, but still, 400 sheep, one ran off, the rest followed. Man, I am like a sheep. I am so quick to follow someone else. I'm not saying I'm going to run off a cliff today. Right? But how easily am I to follow others? How easily am I to look to my phone or something else to give me what I think would be happiness or peace? So it makes sense that Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 53, 6, he said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We're all sheep. We've all messed up. We all deserve death. If we think about David, he has witnessed sheep being dumb. He's witnessing them running off or putting themselves in harm's way. And yet, the personal aspect of God who brings his rod and staff, not the correct, but the comfort, to bring them back from safety. The sheep that need protection, the guidance, the care, the personal relationship, and the trust of a shepherd. For those same reasons, especially myself, is why we need a shepherd. Why I am like sheep. We make decisions thinking that it's going to lead us to happiness, but it's not. And really, Psalms 23 exposes how much of Genesis 3 we live out every day, right? Where we want to be God. We want to be our own shepherd. I don't like having to have to rely on someone else. But God made us to be dependent, to trust him. Yet we are stubborn, and we need rescue. We need guidance, we need protection, we need care. You know, I think so often we look for things to guide us. We look for relationships, for a job, for money, sex, power. We think if we pursue them, they will provide for us. We put the resume of Jesus on those things. So if we go back and reread Psalm 23, 1 through 5, it says this. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Nothing else in this world will give us peace and restore our souls. And my soul longs for rest in still waters. It's why I think that I'll find that anything else but the shepherd is where I go fall short. Only Jesus can provide that. David continues, says, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, for his reputation. God wants the best for us. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. The personal God sent his one and only son, Jesus, from his place of safety to harm's way on our behalf. It goes on, it says this, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. I'll be honest, I used to always think that that anointing with oil was symbolic to David having his head anointed with oil because he'd be king. But I was wrong. So I found that shepherds will anoint the sheep's head with oil for a couple reasons. One, especially the male sheep, they butt heads with one another. So if they put the oil, it causes the impact to be less. But even more, all the sheep, not just the males, their heads are anointed with oil because it protects them from flies and other insects. And here's what's crazy. Those bugs, those flies will fly into their nose and lay their eggs. Those eggs hatch and turn into worms. They crawl into the sheep's brain and irritate them. They'll shake their heads and run into stuff and eventually kill themselves. So there's this personal aspect of the little details that God provides for us. So a shepherd anointing the sheep's head of oil is a thing of protection because they can't do it for themselves. So I just see this, again, this personal aspect of God, his attention to detail. We see that David has experienced the same intimate relationship with God that we can experience. The second piece I think about that is that David is being so intentional because the first place the enemy wants to attack us is our minds. The enemy wants us to have doubt and anxieties, wants us to be so irritated and not focus on the shepherd. Again, if you look back from last week in Psalms 22, we see David pouring out to God, saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? From the words of my groaning, oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night I find no rest. So I'm going to caveat, Psalms 23 is the next chapter. It wasn't written right after Psalm 22. A lot of historians believe there's a big gap. But that, with that caveat, David is still the same author. So he goes from chapter 22, crying out, God, why have you forsaken me, to seeing and trusting God as his shepherd. David says in verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David reverts about talking of God. But he does so as he describes the attributes of God. He says, a God full of goodness and mercy. Which, if again, if you look at the life of David, that's such a profound statement to say. Despite all that he's gone through and experienced, the highs, the lows, the ups and downs of his life, he went from being a shepherd to being anointed as the next king. Then he's hiding from Saul in a cave because he's supposed to be the next king. Then David becomes the king of Israel, to later he runs from his own son who wants to kill him. And I think because David spent so much time in the valley of the shadow of death, is because David was able to bellow his emotions and his angst, and he shared his emotions openly with God, that David was able to recognize that God is personal, who longs to be our shepherd. We can try to be our own shepherd. We can try to do things the right way, but we'll always fail. We're always going to fall short. And David experienced that without God, he was a lost sheep. And praise God that he doesn't leave us in the wilderness as a lost sheep, that he pursues us. The God who's the creator of the heavens and earth, he pursues us. He wants to know us by name. So I said earlier, I'm going to give that controversial quote from Ado Tozer, who said, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. And I want to challenge that. And Jeff and I talked through this. He says, I'm going to give Jeff credit for this quote. He says, "What God thinks about us is the most important thing." It's not about what we think about God, but what he thinks about us. See, what God thinks about us is that he made us in his image. And if we look at the words of Jesus in John chapter 10, he says this. Jesus himself says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." Jesus is saying that your life means so much that I will lay down my life on your behalf. Jesus brings David's metaphor to life. He says this. In verse 14, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me." Jesus brings the fact that he desires to know us personally. He wants us to know him personally as well. He lays down his life for us so much. He loves us so much that he is willing to do so. He didn't have to, but he chose to. So it's not about what we think of him, it's about what he thinks of us. He loves us. He values us. If you're listening and you don't know Jesus personally, I would love to talk with you today. Grab Matt or John, one of the elders. Have a conversation. But he knows you. He loves you. He pursues you. I'm going to end with three things, and then I'll ask the band to come up in a little bit. But the first one is in Psalm 23. It's about a wilderness. I showed that picture earlier of that desert. There's no trees, water scarce. And if you think about the Psalm 23, it's not about lacking. The Psalm's not about what you lack. It's what you think about when you look at the Judean wilderness. It's a land that has absolutely nothing. So when David is doing, he takes the perspective of his sheep. He knows what they need is not naturally there in the wilderness. The food, the water security, it's not there. The sheep's eyes are not on what they are lacking, but what they have in the shepherd. The shepherd who takes them in the wilderness and provides all they need. When the Lord is a shepherd, his people lack nothing. When I'm in a season of being in the wilderness, it's easy to focus on what I don't have. But we are the focus on the shepherd, who he is and what he's done for us. Because then that place that lacks everything doesn't lack anything. The psalm isn't about what we lack, but how God provides what we need. We have the perfect and personal shepherd, Jesus, who loves us and laid down his life for us. Psalm 23, the second point is that it is a wilderness, but it's about contentment. I want to read this from the Jesus Storybook Bible. It's by Sally Lloyd-Jones, and she says this. This is a little part of it. She says, "God is my shepherd, and I am his little lamb. He feeds me, he guides me. He looks after everything. I have everything I need. Inside, my heart is very quiet as lying still in soft green grass in a meadow by a little stream. Even when I walk through the dark, scary, lonely places, I won't be afraid because my shepherd knows where I am. He is here with me. He keeps me safe. He rescues me. He makes me strong and brave. He fills my heart so full of happiness, I can't hold all of it inside. Wherever I go, I know God's never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever love will go too." So I'm going to ask the band to come back up, and I'm going to close with this benediction. It's from Ephesians chapter 3. And I think it's such a great one because it helps us look to Jesus as our shepherd, where we can find our contentment, our happiness, our peace. So Paul writes this in Ephesians 3. He says this, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth. To know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God." We find that in Psalm 23 as he points us to Jesus. And he says this, "Now to him, Jesus, who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Let's pray. God, I thank you that even if I am a dumb, stubborn sheep, that you pursue and you love me. That you pursue and you love us, and that Jesus, through your life, your death, and your resurrection, you've made a way. That you don't leave us in the valley of shadow death, but you are there with us. God, I would pray for opportunities for us to recognize how you are our good shepherd, how you love, how you care for us, how you know us, how you call us by name. Jesus, we thank you for your love, your grace, your truth. In the name of Jesus, we pray today.